Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 95, and today is Friday, November 16th. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. All right, so this is, as I said in the last show, I'm going to be talking, kind of working through a question and answer series for a little while, so again, I'd encourage you. I thank you for all the response that I've received, and encourage you if you have thoughts or things you want me to talk about, just reach out to me on Twitter, or app.net, or email, and I'll be happy to kind of put them on the list, see what kind of shakes out, and go from there. So today I'm going to be answering a question from Mark, who emailed me asking about this, and just probably worth saying, if you contact me on Twitter or app.net in a public way, I will use your name. If you email me, I will just use your first name unless you explicitly say otherwise. So this is Mark via email. All right, so basically he was asking how I decided to go with Dark Sky Weather API and check the weather. How do you decide if you're going to use a third-party API? How do you decide kind of the costing for that? Obviously, a lot of these services have ongoing costs or per-use costs and things. And so how do you kind of balance that as you're developing an application? And when do you break from kind of rolling your own versus using something that someone else sort of has built and uses and you pay for on an ongoing basis? And I think it's a great question, and it actually is very timely for me. I'm working on a big update to my recipe book manager. And one of the things I'm doing is cloud sync to sync recipes between the application. There'll be a new iPhone version. There's a few things like that that I'm working on. And the key thing in this, though, is I've been struggling on it basically since, I guess, for the last 18 months or so. When iCloud was first announced at WWDC last summer, not this past one, I mean, about full 18 months ago, I was like, oh, that's great. I've been thinking of doing a sync option for my recipe book, and I think this will be great. I'll try to use iCloud. I tried to use iCloud, and it was kind of just a nightmare. I mean, I use Core Data, and there's, in theory, Core Data iCloud support, but it's kind of temperamental and buggy and all kinds of things that went wrong. And so I kind of got discouraged and didn't work on it. And that was kind of unfortunate because the feature and the functionality would have been really great to have given to my users 18 months ago. That would have been awesome. But I just got discouraged from trying to implement a third-party library and API into it to do it. Simperium came out, which is a third-party thing for syncing that looked really promising, and I've tried it, and it worked pretty well. But it kind of frustrated me a little bit on pricing. It's a little bit expensive for the number of users that I expect to have. But it also just kind of frustrated me. And whenever you're working with something that's the third party, you're always kind of struggling with, it's never going to fit exactly what you want to do. And there's going to be these little holes. There's going to be these little problems that you're going to have to be working around. And that's fine most of the time. Generally, you just kind of make that work and you just kind of adapt. But it can be very frustrating. And the same thing happened with Simperium. I got like 80, 90% of it working. And the last 10% was just a really big sort of challenge for me. And so I kind of lost interest and moved on, worked on other things, developed and created and launched Check the Weather. In the meantime, like without exaggeration, I started working on CloudSync. I got stuck. And that's part of what motivated me to work on Check the Weather is that I was kind of like looking for an escape. And that's not a good place to be. I mean, it's never going to be a good thing if I'm discouraged from making my product better because of some of the drawbacks of the third-party API that I was going to be thinking about using. And so what I'm ultimately doing is I'm going to be rolling it myself. I've built from scratch in a relatively short amount of time a Rails sync application that will do all the syncing for me. And it's actually been really exciting and really fun. And like you may have noticed, there's only going to be one show this week. That's partly because I've really enjoyed this process. It's really interesting to build this thing from scratch that's tailored to exactly my needs. It does exactly what I want. I mean, it's fun to make it sort of performant and, stretch myself a little bit. I hadn't done a lot of Rails work recently, and it's great to kind of get into that again. And, it's kind of fun, and it works. Like, I have it working in about a week. This sort of end-to-end sync solution that works, dynamically across multiple devices and so on is great. And the thing that's remarkable to me about that is rolling it myself in this case was really good. I've been excited about it. I've got the feature implemented. I think it's going to be ready soon. It's great. It'll be much more cost-effective than a lot of other options because I rolled it myself. I just put on Heroku or some other Rails web server, and it cost me something, but it won't be an insane amount of money by any means. But it's always a struggle. And I ran into this again with weather APIs. You always have this tension where, you know, I could pull the raw source data from a lot of systems, combine them together, analyze them, process them, do a whole bunch of stuff, and use that. I mean, all Dark Sky does, I mean, you can read it on their website. I mean, Dark Sky takes the standard National Weather Service radar maps and processes them with their own proprietary super genius algorithm to estimate expected rainfall. That's all they do. That is, in theory, something that I could do. That is something that I could replace. That is something that I could, you know, sort of get into and do myself. But you know, for the case of Dark Sky, it doesn't make sense. And I've been kind of struggling with this all week since I got this question from Mark, was how do I make that decision ultimately? Because it's really kind of a hard thing to know. Where is this value that is worthwhile to sort of outsource something to somewhere else? And when is that value to keep it to yourself? And where I've kind of ended up on is that you want to outsource the things when someone else is doing it a lot better than you could ever do. And that works applies to almost any circumstance. And it's a theme I've talked about certainly on the show before. You know, it's like I outsource the creation of the icons for my applications because I'm not an artist. I'm not an illustrator. And they do a job that's 10 to 20 to 100 times better than what I could ever do. And so I'm always going to outsource that. In this case, there's a certain amount of sophistication that goes into building a weather model, that goes into managing that, that is something that I don't think I have the expertise to get into, nor do I think it would be wise for me to gain that expertise. I know a bit more about weather forecasting than I did before I started the project, but I don't expect to ever be an expert in meteorology or to have done the study needed to get into it. And so it makes a lot of sense for me to outsource the cost of that. Sort of the second part of what Mark was asking, which is something that I think is important to think about, is how do you manage the cost of that? A lot of these things are really tricky for an app and the way app sort of pricing tends to work. So typically, I get an upfront amount of money from my user. They buy it, whatever they get. I get $1.40 if it's a $2 app or something like that after Apple's cut. I get that $1.40 from them. Now, that has to theoretically support, all of the ongoing costs that are going to be associated with that user and also obviously leave me with some profit. Otherwise, there's no point. And so the way that I think about this, and it's definitely a struggle, you kind of look at these things and you say, I'm going to be spending so many hundreds of dollars a month or so many thousands of dollars a month on hosting, on external resources, on all of the things that go into it, on support even. And so every user kind of has a cost. And the only way that I've been able to sort of do this rationally, and it seems to work really well, so I'm going to kind of walk through it here. When you're thinking about using a third-party API and you want to kind of judge, weigh away all these different things, is you have to be able to calculate a cost per user. If you can't do that, you're going to be kind of floundering around. And so you have to be able to say, this is roughly what it costs for a user of my application. A typical user costs this much per month, this much per year. The intervals don't really matter. What matters is that you can say, this is what it costs. And I did a lot of this analysis for my weather APIs. So they have different pricing structures, and a lot of them, like the one I'm on right now, is it's based on I get 500,000 hits a day for a certain amount of money, and I can kind of then look at the number of hits I get per user. On a, for an average user, I get so many hits. That hit costs me so much. That's my average cost per month per user, and I can kind of reverse my way back into that. And that gives me a number, and that number is vitally important because having a number lets me kind of work out if that's going to work financially. And so the way that I do with my, with a lot of these things, I'll take the cost per user and work out what my cost per year per user is and look at the purchase price and compare the two. Because for me, I think I have a somewhat of a responsibility to support an application for about a year. Beyond that, you have a fairer expectation that that user may need to give you some extra money. That's not to say that you necessarily will, but from a planning perspective, I look at it as a 1 year timeline. That if, from when you gave me your $1.40, I'm going to support you for a year. And so if all the API and server costs and all the things that go into that work out to be, say they're 50 cents, say they're 60 cents, say they're 80 cents, whatever that is, you can then look at the two and you can balance them. And that's a really important thing from a pricing perspective. If that, you know, say it's going to cost you 70 cents a user, or 70 cents a year to have that user, that means your app really can't be 99 cents. It just can't. You'll break even on every sale, and that's kind of pointless. And so it's really important to kind of have that, have a good grounding on that, and to see, you know, does this make sense? Does it work? And, you know, I ran the math for Dark Sky, for my weather API, for my server hosting, all the things that go into it. And it's like, the math works out. This makes sense. I'll run with it. But if you don't have the number, you just can't do these. And so that's kind of the way I balance those types of things. And sort of to loop back to what I was talking about first, and I'll finish off on that tack, is it's important to understand that the tools you use to build something dramatically impact the quality of the thing, and not just because of the intrinsic properties of the service you're using, but in terms of how that changes you as a developer. And this is something that I sort of knew before, but has definitely been made clear to me with this, you know, my recipe book sync situation, is I had been so apprehensive, so resistant, so reluctant to work on this problem, because every time I tried to do it using someone else's tools, it would go great for a couple of days, it looked like it was working, and then the wheels would come off the wagon when I was doing some testing. And there'd be some problem that I either couldn't solve, or in order to solve, I had to make some strange compromises or do some really hacky, weird things. And that just frustrated me, and so I wasn't working on the problem. And so that meant that that service hasn't existed for these users for a long time, and that's kind of a sad thing. I'm kind of bummed that that is the way it ended up working out, but it's kind of, I'm glad I went through that experience, because otherwise I wouldn't have known what I was missing. I wouldn't have known that about myself, that I like solving problems. I like working with sharp tools. And if a tool turns out to not be sharp, if I am working with it and it seems like no matter what I do, I'm always running into, you know, frustrations or problems, that's going to really limit my ability to make an excellent product. And so from working on any API or integrating with anything, it means that you need to be really comfortable with what that is. And sometimes you're going to roll your own. And rolling your own is, you know, you want to avoid to some degree the kind of the not invented here syndrome kind of problem, where you're always inventing your own thing because you have no, like, you know, you're suspicious of other people's work, or you're kind of a control freak or things. Like, that's certainly something you want to be careful of. You can definitely get caught up in that and be reinventing too many wheels. But some wheels are worth reinventing. Some wheels are things that you will have a better product for going through and working on than you would if you just sort of use all, it's, you know, combining something from off-the-shelf components. You know, it's making something custom that solves your problem perfectly is often really good. And you want to do whatever motivates you. You know, if you're like, I don't really have an interest in, you know, being a meteorologist and making a weather model, so I'm going to outsource that to someone else. But I do enjoy making, you know, somewhat sophisticated web systems that, you know, handle syncing and finding clever ways to do caching and to do, you know, smart updates and all kinds of stuff. Like, those are interesting problems. And so solving those is fun. And that's what I've been doing. So that's a little bit of a round-around answer. But basically, you got to know there's two costs whenever you're going to be doing something. There's the cost that's physical, like the monetary cost, and you have to balance that. And then the second cost is the cost of your time and your effort and, your more importantly, your motivation to use whatever that is. And so keep those two things in mind, and I think you'll be pretty good when you're going to be working on a new product or going to be thinking about a new service that you're going to integrate with. That is it going to make you sense financially, and is it going to make sense from your sort of motivation and enjoyment perspective? All right, that's it for today's show. As always, if you have questions, comments, concerns, or complaints, I'm on Twitter at @_DavidSmith, and I'm on app.net at @DavidSmith. As always, like I've been saying, if you have questions, this is a great time to hit those out to me. I'll be accumulating them. If you don't get your question, I'm sorry, but I'll just be kind of working through them as makes sense. And otherwise, I hope you guys have a great weekend, great week, and I'll talk to you next week.